Good morning.
Yes, full house. Awesome worship. Thanks, team. I will say it was really, really awesome worship. And just already seeing the Lord preparing a deep work in our hearts this morning, where He wants to take bondages away and heal the brokenhearted. And my prayer this morning is for us to open our hearts to do that, because I know it hurts when you do that. But can we open up our hearts? Can we? Yes. Because He's faithful and He's true and He's a good Father and He wants us to walk in freedom. Amen. Where's His way? Amen? Sell it. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Francois. I'm married to this beautiful lady in front. Nadine, we also don't have children, but we have a schnauzer. It's our community's mascot. His name is Kai, and it's so awesome. I was standing last year, at the end of last year, I was standing in the shower, and you know what they say? The best ideas comes in the shower, and the best preachers as well. And the Lord spoke to me about this message. And gave me some great insight into the scripture. And I was so excited. I was like, yes, when can I just tell more? Now, yes, I want to preach on this. This is so cool. This is awesome. I don't know if you've ever received a revelation. Have you ever received a revelation? You're just like, super excited. Yeah. So that's what I was feeling. I was like so excited. Like that song says, I'm so excited. You know? And I literally couldn't hide it. I was like, Luffy. Are you timing me? Sorry, I can take too long. Thank you, Adrian. And then I heard somewhere this month they asked me to just share a word, and I was like, "That's it. That's what the Lord wants to say." And I really trust that this morning that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart as an individual, and that He will do a great work this morning in you, through you. So I grew up in Cape Town, not originally from Mossel Bay. I met my wife in Mossel Bay, and then I decided to stay. Not really. She's asked me to stay. No, not really. I grew up in Paul, and I really can't tell you exactly when I got saved. But don't worry, I'm saved. I'm following Jesus. But I remember clearly there was a moment. I was visiting my grandmother. Now, to all the grandmothers out there, thank you for praying all the time. Yes, I just get emotional every time I think about my grandmother, because it's her prayers that I'm standing here today, and by the Lord's grace. And I was sitting in the garage. There was a bed in the garage, and I don't know how it happened, but my grandmother led me to Jesus, led me to the Lord, did the sinner's prayer with me, and that's where it started. From that, I was probably great, I don't know, one or two. I don't know. But I remember clearly, like, that's a pinnacle point. Is that the great word? Pinnacle point. Not pinnacle point. Pinnacle point. It's a pinnacle point in my walk with Jesus. Because every time I look back, I see the Lord's faithfulness in my life. Like, suddenly from that day, there was something, a yearning, a longing for Jesus. Even though I didn't have all the knowledge of who He is, how it works, how this Christian thing works. But I remember I asked my Sunday school teacher. My parents was just like one of those people that went to church religiously, later on stopped going. But I remember I was in the Sunday school, and I asked the Sunday school teacher, because I had a little bit of a problem. I would pray in the evenings, and I would say all my prayers, and then I would say amen. And then I would go like, oh shucks, I forgot to pray about this. And so I asked the Sunday school teacher, can I pray after I said amen? May I pray again? A silly question, but for me it was like massive. It was like, I forgot to pray something. I asked the Lord something, and He actually said no. So I just want to free everyone. After you've said amen, you can still pray. The Bible says pray continuously all the time. But there was a yearning, there was a longing, and the Lord set me free. Blessedly. The Lord set me free from that. And I remember going into high school and experiencing the wonderful years of a teenager, you know, all it's like hormones and stuff, and being a very difficult teenager to my parents. I cried one day just asking for their forgiveness because I was really difficult. But even in that, my parents got divorced. They no longer went to church. I didn't go to church. But in it, I still had a longing for Christ. Still had a longing for him. Don't ask me how, don't ask me, but still looking back at my prayer with my grandma. And I went off the rails completely, still went on youth camps to, because all the guys, let's just be honest, when you go on a youth camp, normally it's just to meet girls. And so that's where I say too loud. So I went on this youth camp with not the right stuff, but every time I would respond to the gospel, say, Lord, here I am. Use me, even making a promise once to Jesus saying, I will never turn my back on you. And then I turned my back on him, which is bad. But I remember going to youth camps and every time putting my hand, my life was really like a roller coaster. The one moment, Jesus, next moment, world. One moment, Jesus, next moment, world. And that's how my walk was the whole time. And it came to a point where in matric, I was super on fire for the Lord. Like I was leading people to Jesus. I was preaching. I was the UCSA leader, which is like the fiercest fear or a youth group at the school. And I was on fire. And then one day, the teacher called me in and she said, Francois, I heard you did these things on weekends. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, that's my past life. That's no longer me. And what actually happened is guys in the leadership group actually told lies about me. And I got hurt. How many of you have got hurt by Christians? Anyone? Yes, that happens. And I turned my back solidly on the church. Like 100% I turned my back on the church. And I was like, you know what? If you want to speak like this about me, let me show you how I can party. Let me show you how bad this can get. That was my mindset. And I went after matric. I went to on your matric weekend to this place called Vlak Varkshut. Now, the name itself, anyone that's from there, I'm sorry, but the name itself just, yeah, this was going to be a weekend. So I was going to go in, party hard, go home, and then look at the rest of my life and don't know what I'm going to do. And that's what I did the first evening. I did everything I wanted to do, woke up the next morning with I only know the Afrikaans word, a babalas. And I was sitting there looking, getting my cigarette out, getting my next beer going, ready to party again. And the next moment, the Lord's presence came upon me. Like in the darkest of darkest circumstances where everyone around me is just want to party, Lord's presence fell upon me. Just remember, I did not look for Jesus. My whole thing was, I'm going to rebel against you. I'm going to rebel against the church and the people, and I'll show them. And Jesus, with his loving mercy, grace, and kindness, his presence came upon me. And this is the only time that the Lord spoke to me in Afrikaans. But he said in Afrikaans, he said, so the Lord also speaks Afrikaans. So he says, so he said, Francois, hierdie is nutteloos. Hierdie gaan eindig. In English, all the English guys, Francois, this is useless. This is going to end. And it was over. And I was like, something just happened here. And I went back home, long story short, told my mom, told my grandma about this. My grandma obviously knowing I'm going on this weekend. And my mom said a day or two later, she said, Francois, you know that your grandma prayed for you before you went on this weekend, on this camp. And she prayed that the Lord will show you that he gave us advice that he goed nutteloos is, that these things was useless. And I was like, boom, that's what the Lord said. So I'm like, God is pursuing me in my sin, in my filthiness, in my rebellion, in me running away. He's pursuing me. That's crazy. That's crazy. But his mercy. And so I'm standing here today, not of anything that I've done, but because of what he has done for me and because of his faithfulness and pursuing me and keeping on going after me. So I wanna read a scripture this morning. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. So the writer of Hebrews is writing, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Only two verses, eh? So one thing in my life that I've realized in my Christian walk is, and I think we all go through it, the one moment we're on fire for God, just when you get saved, you want to change the world. You're on fire. You want to tell people about Jesus. Everything is so good. And as we progress, suddenly this walk becomes more difficult. And we start pulling back. And before we see, we're lukewarm. And that's what happened to me a lot. Is I had a roller coaster ride a lot. And that's why I think this scripture is so important, so crucial. It's such a simple scripture. I love it. It's so practical, so simple, but crucial. Crucial. Because if we do not finish well, we might not finish at all. And so I want to look this morning, I want to look at what are we doing? We're running. I want to look at what's keeping us from running. And I want to look at how can we run faithfully. So I'm going to quickly pray. Lord, I just trust for hearts, God, this morning to be open. God, that I know that life is difficult and things happen, God, and we often grow weary, God. But I ask, would you send your Holy Spirit, would you minister in our hearts this morning? And anything that's keeping us from running, that you will reveal it to us this morning, that we will depart from it, lay it down, surrender it this morning, God, and that you will finish that good work that you've won, that you started in us. You will finish it and complete it at the end, God. We praise you. Amen. So in the writer, we don't know who the writer is. There's many speculations about who wrote the book of Hebrews. So I'm just going to say the writer. When the writer wrote this, he wrote it mainly to Jewish Christians who came to believe in Christ. They came to believe that he was the Messiah and he's the one that they're going to follow. But what happened, because of persecution and difficult trials and everything that happened, they started turning back. Because even their families would reject them. Because now they're saying Jesus the Messiah. And in the Jewish, some Jews believe that Christ was never the Messiah. They're still waiting for the Messiah. So many of them would turn back and go back to their old ways and start going back to things that Jesus fulfilled in the law, like circumcision and all those type of things. So the writer is writing to them and saying, persevere, endure, press through. The other group that he's writing to is Jewish Christians, they are believing false doctrines, false teachings, that Jesus is no longer enough, that it's Jesus and this, that it's Jesus and the law that I still have to do, Jesus and circumcision, Jesus and this. And people started believing stuff about that Jesus is not enough. This is what the guys were preaching. And so the writer is writing to them as well. And in the third group, is those who simply fell back into sin, who simply sinned again and got blinded and lost focus of what this is all about. And so the writer is writing to these guys to encourage them, telling them, endure in this time of difficulty. Endure. And what's cool is that the writer writes this to us today as well, that we can take this. And so he's using this picture of a race, of running a race. Now, who has ever ran a race before? Not the race. So if you've done the park run, then it's you as well. The park run, anyone? A few people. Okay, I've done the park run. It's 4.8 or 4.9, not 5. Not 5, 4.8, 4.9. So I ran the park run, not doing any training beforehand. And the thing about the race is, why is this guy using the picture? Why is he using this metaphor of a race? Because a race is simply not easy, all right? It's a race is something that you have to endure in, all right? You get to that middle stage. I'm running the park run in Hartenbos. Lekker, if you've ever done the park run in Hartenbos, it's uphill, it's gravel, it's intense for me. So you run the park run, you get to the middle, and I run with earphones. I didn't listen to the guys telling me 4K's left, 3 kilometers left, 2 kilometers left. So I'm getting to a point where I'm like, yes, I don't know. This is getting intense now. I think I'll just have to start walking. I don't know. And then I'm up this hill. I remember going up this hill, and I get to the top of the hill, and I look down, and I see, whoa, there's the finish line. And that, like, then I pushed up the beats in my ears, Christian beats, workout, started running. Now I'm starting. Now I'm like, is this guy behind me? He can't catch up. This guy in front of me, I have to take him. You know, the competitiveness comes in. And you see the finish line, and you get excited, and that just motivates you even more when you see that. And so that's what the writer is saying, is there's a finish line. There's a prize. At the end of the race, there's a prize. We're not running just to run. Yeah, Afrikaanse mense sê, als is dit te gejaag na wind. We're actually running for a purpose. We're running for a reason, this race. It's not useless. When you don't know Christ, then it's useless. Because what are you running after? You're running after your business, you're running after money, you're running after relationships. And at the end of the day, you reach that goal, and what do you find? Nothing. You're just running after something else after that again. And so the writer is encouraging us to endure through this long race. And it's not a sprint. I think we need to realize that this is not a sprint. This is a long distance run. So you've got different types of. I'm not a professional, so don't judge me. If I say something, just correct me afterwards that I shouldn't say about running. But I know that if you run the 100 meters and you run the 10K, you're gonna train different and you're gonna run different. The 10K, you're not going to sprint the first 100 meters like you're going to sprint in a race, normal race. Am I correct, Gina? Yes, thank you. You're not going to do that. It's a long distance race. Now, the enemy, what he wants to do is he's sneaky. He's not a snake for no reason. Not really. He's not really a snake, but in the beginning. Snakes are scary, but it's also, there was a sneaky. And so the enemy wants us to stop running. That's his goal. He wants you to run, lekker, lekker. He'll give you life to Jesus. Okay. Run hard, on fire for Christ. And then you get to a point where it's like, yo, man, that's difficult. And then lies comes, deception comes, offenses comes. And so the enemy's whole goal, his whole purpose is to stop us from running. It's for us to give up. And church, I want to tell us this morning, this is, if you can take anything out of this message, is do not stop running. Look, you can crawl, but don't stop. Like, you can walk, but don't stop. As long as you keep on keeping on. And in this day and age, it's even more difficult to run. And it's more sneakiness from the enemy. And I see people stop. I see people running hard for Christ and then stopping. And that breaks me. And by the grace and the mercy of God, I've stopped running at times. But he's kept me and he's pushed me forward. And I'm still running this race. And the call this morning is for us to keep on running this race. Is to not grow weary. We can so easily grow weary, and to endure. And this is so important. You can get every other thing right. You can play amazingly here. You can preach amazingly here. You can pray for people and they can fall over all around. You can pray in tongues. You can prophesy correctly. You can do everything. But if you stop running, then what? And so the call is, we need to keep on running. Sorry, if I'm pointing, it's not, I'm not pointing, I'm pointing at myself as well. So let's just put that verse up again, Renee, Hebrews, the one we just read. So the writer starts off with, therefore. Now, if there's a word therefore, it means that the writer is referring to something he just said beforehand. And so he says, therefore. So what he actually meant, so when we go read the previous part, he's speaking about the heroes of faith who finished strong and completed this race. He's speaking about guys like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abram, Moses, Isaac, and there's a lot more. You can go read it, you'll see all these guys. And he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And actually, he's using the picture of the Olympics. So when you look at the Olympics, the stadium, the stadium is round, and the guys are doing all the Olympic sports in the middle. And the crowd is looking around, looking down at them, cheering them on, looking at their favorite runner, all those things. And so the writer is using this picture, and he's saying that these guys are sitting, looking down at how present-day Christians are running, at how they are enduring. And he's saying, look at these guys and use them as examples of how they have finished strong. So when we actually go back and we will look at these people's lives, we can see how they were faithful in the race, how they were faithful with God, and in faith they walked. And so he's using them as an example. All these guys. So this is the first thing he tells us to do is to, he's telling us, look, you're not alone. Jesus is praying. The Bible says that Jesus is always interceding for you. These guys, I don't believe that Moses and those guys are interceding to us. They're looking down and seeing this, but we've got a great intercessor who's Jesus, our high priest. And so he's saying, like, look at these guys. You're not alone. They finished. Let's see. You guys can finish as well. This is the first call that he says. The second call, now I'm going to use someone that's strong, very strong, the strongest, I think. Gino, do you want to come up quickly? Gino, we gave him a shirt beforehand. You guys can bring it up. So Gino, stop making jokes. So Gino will present our Christian today. Gino is a Christian. He's saved. He's on fire for God. Awesome testimonies. Ask him about testimonies and you'll be blessed. He's so awesome. He looks so heavy, eh? Yeah. So what the writer, maybe you can just stand there. So I want to show us practically how this looks. The writer says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Now, that word easily, in the Greek, it means easily. Easy. So simple. Like, it's so interesting that the writer says that word. He doesn't say, oh, it takes, it's like, it's difficult. He says easily. Like, this stuff easily entangles it. Have you ever experienced that? You see, the next moment you're running, you allow something in your life, and easily, boom, you feel you're in trouble. And so he says, it's easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So the writer is saying that there is things in this race that can make it even more difficult for us to run. Now, Gina, just run there where you are, just in one spot. It's very good. So it's quite, Gino's quite a fit guy. It's easy for him. Just put on it. Is there something in it? What? Oh, it's in it. Okay. Just put it back. So I wanted to actually do this a little bit more different, but let's open that backpack. No, it's fine. Just keep it on his back. This is not a bachelor's. Let me just take this out quickly. Now put this on your back, on your... So, for Gino, it's still easy to run with a bag. But now what happens to... Maybe you should come a little bit closer. You can just give me one at a time, Chad. So what happens is Gino's running this race, and he's doing his walking. He got saved. He's in his walk with Christ. He's all excited. And one day he comes to church, and he sees Seesway. I had to use you. He sees Seesway, and he sees... Yes, bro. Hi, Seesway, how are you? And Seesway goes on and he walks past, and Gino's like, yo, that guy, not even greeting me. And what happens? He allows a little bit of offense in his life. Now, it's not that bad. You can still run with it, all right? You can still run with it. It's not. He doesn't have to sort it out now. He'll sort it out later. But the next moment, Caesar drives past him with his new Mercedes, A-Class. And Gino's like, yo, I have a Golf. Automatic. Ah, Caesar, I'm working as hard as Caesar. Why can he drive a Mercedes Benz? And then one day he pitches up to church and Caesar leads the prayer meeting. Gino's like, yes, I've been pouring out my life in this church and nobody noticed me. What happens? He starts getting jealous and he keeps the offense. And he keeps the offense. Now, he's still, you're still all right. He's still a big guy. You can still go. And so, he starts looking at Caesar, and he starts comparing to him. He thinks, I'm better than that guy, man. I can lead a prayer meeting 10 times, and 50 people would get saved. That's impressive. And now Caesar is doing it. I'm just picking on you, Caesar, because I know you can take it. And now Caesar is doing it. And he starts comparing to him. And now even more gets more difficult. And now, Gino's like, ugh, you know what? This church, these people, no one cares about me. No one greets me. No one wants to be my friend. No one thinks I'm good. And he starts believing lies. And that creeps in. Now, Gino, just where you are, let's go down quickly. Now, just run from there to there. How does it feel? Heavy. Yeah. But you can do it. You're strong. You come up quickly. Now, Gino can still do it, but it's heavy. It's going to get difficult. But what happens is many times when these things happen, sin starts creeping in more. Now, I'm not saying Gino, but what happens is people start looking at girls in a lustful way many times. The love of money creeps in. He wants more. Money is not it's not sin, but the love of money is it. And he's allowing now he can take it out. And what happens, what the scripture says, is now these things, not only heavy on our back, but it starts entangling us. Now that, how heavy is that chain? 50 kg. 50. And this is the exact picture that the Bible is saying that sin is doing in our lives while we're trying to run this race. So Judd was in the NSRI, so he can do anything. How are you feeling, Gina? How's that feeling?
Feeling bondaged.
Just let that hang in front of you. Now look at this guy. Who is going to run a race like this? Anyone up for it? Can I just say, I wanted to use this picture for a reason, because we don't always realize what happens. Sin entangles us. This happens. We can no longer use anything anymore. And now we want to run this race like this. See, we get saved, we're on fire for Christ, we run hard, we're light. And the next moment, we allow things so subtle, so easily. Comparison. Offense, lies, jealousy, and we don't take care of it. And the next moment, when we look again, this is how we look like. Gina, not just can you run for us? Okay, you have a way to come this way. Come here. Just run to me, bro. Now, who thinks that Gina's going to give up after the first hour? Only four people. The fourth hour, he's going to give up. It might be easy for the first 30 minutes, but he's going to give up somewhere. Let's just quickly on time. We won't leave you like that. So then Jesus comes. So literally what happens, and I just want to, just for time's sakes, we can allow these things to enter our lives. And then we end up like this. And what happens many times is we will not finish the race. But what we need to do is we have to surrender these things to Christ. So when the offense comes, we don't go, I'll deal with it later. We say now, Lord, this is how I'm feeling. I surrender it to you. When the jealousy comes, Lord, this is how I'm feeling. I surrender it to you. We need to surrender the things that's not from God. Why? Because that will happen. And we'll stop running. We'll not endure this race. Now, actually, we cannot run this race by ourselves. We can't run this race by ourselves. We need God. We need the strength of Christ. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. And we need one another. And so see, what actually happens is, as Jesus says, let's go to that scripture, Hebrews 13:21. So the writer says that God will equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Christ will not just leave us to run this race. He's going to equip us with the Holy Spirit. But he gives us more. Now, this is just practical. But the Lord, but what does Jesus say? He says, I'm the living water. Come to me. Drink from me. And you will not thirst no more. And what we do is sometimes we don't drink from Jesus. We try in our own flesh. And when we try in our own flesh, we become bondage. So Jesus gives us
water.
He gives us water to run.
Here's your papi.
Then you can just stand there. Just turn your back to there. We go. Yeah. So he gives us water. He equips us. The word says that his word, the Bible, is like a lamp unto my feet. And so in our darkest of darkest times, what do we do? Do we go lie down and allow everything to creep in? No. We turn on the light. We turn the word up. And he gives us light. He gives us yes. He gives us the word, his word, to guide us through the difficult times. Yeah, well, I don't think it's going to work. And he gives us, and I wanted to take it, him to take it off, but it's fine now. He gives us shoes for running. He equips us for running. He gives us shoes to spread the gospel. Because as much as you can receive, you have to give as well. And so he equips us. He does not just leave us, but he equips us. Thank you, Gina. You can give him a hand. Okay, time's running out. I'm almost done. So God equips us. God equips us. And I want to emphasize that. I know we used something very strong and funny and practical here. But when you look at it in the spirit, it will most likely look like that. That you'll be entangled, you'll feel bondaged, and you'll feel heavy. And I want to say, if you're feeling in bondage today, if you're feeling heavy today, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, even while I'm speaking, to reveal to you if there's things that you've allowed that's keeping you from running or making it difficult. And sin not only entangles us, but it blinds us. Sin blinds us. And we can no longer run this race because we're going right or left. We're going in a different direction. I've seen guys, there was four or five guys last year in the media, the guys, it's no one here, it's overseas, that's turned their back on Jesus. Guys that has made an impact in other Christians' lives. I mean, through worship, through evangelism, through books. Like, I've heard of guys that was impacted by these people. And last year, stories started coming out, and they said they've left the faith. They've left the faith. I don't want to name names now, but there was four or five guys that's big figures in the Christian circles, and they've left the faith. Why? Not because they woke up one morning and decided, I'm going to leave the faith, but because they started allowing small things, subtle things that easily came. And the next moment, they were blinded, they were tired of running, they were in bondage, and they turned their back. And I want to encourage us this morning. This is such encouragement for us. This passage so encouraged me. But that we do not stop running. And that if there's things that's keeping you in bondage, that's keeping you heavy, that you won't allow those things in your life, but that you will surrender, give it to Christ, lay it down at his feet. Because he paid the price. Jesus came to die on a cross so that we no longer can run this race with bondage. That we no longer have to run this race feeling heavy. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And Christ wants us, this is the call this morning, Christ wants us to surrender our lives and everything that's keeping us from running. And this is so practical, but so crucial for the rest of our walk. And so I'm going to finish with this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2:26. Even Paul, now Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Even Paul came to a place where he said the following. Yeah, the scripture in there, 1:26. He says this, so I do not run aimlessly. We do not run aimlessly, we run intentional. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body. Discipline my body, and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now, if Paul says that, which is like one of the heroes in the Old Testament, and we definitely also need to watch our backs and not run aimlessly, but run intentional. How do we do it? Go back to Hebrews 12, verse 2 to 4. Says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And Jesus is the ultimate example for us. Jesus is the ultimate one we look to. That song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this world will grow dim. I've been through times where I just woke up depressed for some reason. I've been working and my clients are screaming at me, swearing at me, and I feel like, yeah. And then I just want to give up and just do whatever. But that's the moment when you feel like you can't, you don't want to, where we stop, you discipline your body, you beat your body into submission, and you say, look to Jesus, and you turn your focus. We turn our focus to Christ, because if we do not look at our prize, if we do not look to Jesus, we're going to give up. If we look around us, we're going to give up. But Jesus is our example. Jesus is the one interceding for us. Jesus is our helper. Jesus is our strength and our hope. And so we need to surrender. Come to Jesus. Give it to him. Even though it hurts. Even though it hurts. We have to give it to Christ. Look to him and ask for strength. Ask for help. And the enemy wants to distract us. But 2 Timothy is my last scripture. 2 Timothy 4, 7 to 8. The writer says, I have fought the good fight. And I want us, this should be what we say at the end when we finish the race. As we say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. May we be a people that come to the end of the race, finish strong, and say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. That's the call. No longer do we allow things to enslave us, unforgiveness, offenses. But we look to Jesus, we lay everything down, and we run as hard as we can to obtain the prize that's everlasting. Everlasting. So I wanna make a response. I want us to respond to this. Can we all close our eyes, perhaps? So there's some of us that have not even started running this race. There's some of us that are just maybe running, but running after things that's not from Christ. Exactly like that Afrikaans saying, say, als is net 'n gejaag na wind. All of these things are useless, and you're just running. And some of us have not even started running. You've not even accepted Christ in your life, not responded to him. And I want to ask for us, if that's you, and you feel that you've not started this race yet, that you've not surrendered to Christ yet, not given your heart to him, I want you to respond by just putting up your hand so we can pray with you. And this is the most important response that you will ever make, decision that you will ever make in your life, the crucial one. So if that's you, can you put up your hand with every eye closed around you? Okay, not seeing any hands. It's fine. The second call is to those who have already started the race. But you have gotten distracted, you've allowed things in your life that makes you want to stop. Or maybe you've stopped. You've once started running, but you've stopped. This is what I want to do. Just keep your eyes closed. Holy Spirit, will you reveal to us? Will you reveal to us if there's anything hindering us from running hard for Jesus and his glory? So just open up your hearts. And if he's revealing something to you, that you would lay it down before him and give it to him and say, Lord, I no longer want to carry this weight. I want to run for you. Let's just make a moment for the Lord.